Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hey, hopefully you received your worship guide when you walked in. And we'll at the end of our gathering here, we will address, there's just a few things, I have a couple things. When we receive the offering at the end, we'll ask for that to be turned in if there's some questions on there. But we're talking about legacy today. We're talking about how to leave a legacy, and we're excited about really the theme this year, this month is on missions. It's on how do we invest and how do we give and how do we make a difference, and so excited. And again, I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer need, please fill out the prayer need. Please fill out on the back of the welcome card. We pray. And we love to pray. In fact, I was at the hospital this yesterday and the day before visiting someone whose 6-month-old son was there because of respiratory challenges and problems. And we went in on, it would have been on Thursday, and they said, man, the doctor says it's just at the point where we might have to send to Anchorage. It's just at that point. They've been here for 4 days now. And we prayed, and I showed up the next day. They said, man, something, they just turned. They just pivoted. And I said, man, I know it's because, yeah, doctors have wisdom and insight, but I also know we emailed that out that day, and a couple hundred people started praying for that little baby in the hospital. And how many believe prayer moves the hand that moves the world? And so please, we don't take these prayer needs lightly. We have a team that receives them. We pray over them. And if you want to be a part of that prayer team, just let us know. Just fill the card out and say, I want to be a part of the prayer team. We'll add you to that list. We'd love to have you be a part of that. When you walked in, you either sat on something or moved it so you wouldn't sit on it, and that's the faith promise guard. And today we're talking about that. This month we're asking you to think and pray about what you can perhaps believe God to help you with for missions this year. On the back of that is the missions trips we're going on. We have 5 trips. All of them include the airfare. Japan's a misprint. It's $2,200, and that includes the airfare, okay? It's not on top of that. That's all-inclusive, ground costs, everything. We would love to take 100 people on mission trips this year. And a couple of them, there's building involved at Fort Yukon New Ixit. If you're a builder, love to have you go and help us with that. Hey, I wanted to give a highlight real quick. We don't always do this, but last week, our children's church numbers, or last week we had over 300 kids on this campus last Sunday in our 4 gatherings. We were up 48% from the year before. You might say, well, what's the big deal about that? I want to say thanks to all of those on our serve team. Yeah. And who serve, who usher, who greet. How many of you guys love the happy, friendly baristas back there that give you a crack and a cup, you know, your Christian, you know, legal addiction stuff? And all the greeters and the ushers and the kids workers. I want to highlight Autumn St. Germain. She comes to one of our other gatherings. She is a single mom. And when we got here 3 years ago, one of her kids was still in diapers. And she has been the 9 o'clock venue lead for Junior Kids Church every Sunday for 3 years. And we asked her, like, do you ever get tired? She goes, I'm a single mom, and my kids need to know that I make church a priority. So I'm not bummed that they're in Kids Church 2 services. I'm excited that I'm teaching them that church is a priority in my life. And so if you could just thank the kids leaders when you go pick up your kids today, they volunteer and serve because they care. That would be awesome. And when you pick up, if you come to 9 o'clock service ever, I don't know who would come to church at 9 o'clock. You didn't have to, right? How many of you guys enjoy sleeping in? Okay, a few of you guys. How many of you guys are here because it's mostly convenient? How many of you guys are here because you like to sleep in? Okay, a couple of you guys. You're honest. Okay, there we go. Well, hey, we're talking about legacy, and part of my role as a pastor, and I shared this last week, but I'll reiterate it again. I have a job description, and my job description has grown, and as other things happen, you know how you get a job, and you start out with one thing, and it kind of expands over time because your capacity grows or whatever. But there's really 2 primary things I as a pastor do. Number one, I teach you how to live today. Because if you can get from Monday to Friday, if Friday's here, you know Sunday's coming, and you get to Sunday, you get enough strength to go from Monday to Friday. Part of our role is to teach you how to live now. The other part is how to prepare you for eternity. And how do we leave a legacy? How many of you know we're all going to die? You know, I said it this way, maybe this service, maybe it was the last service, last gathering last week. I said my job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. In other words, there's times we want to comfort those that are afflicted, those that are hurt, those that are wounded. We want to see God heal them. But then there comes a time when we're healed. And have you ever just had to, with your own kids, like give them a, encourage them again to clean their room? Or kind of prod them on because they started getting lackadaisical or lazy or lethargic or whatever other words you want to add, moms and teenagers. If you're struggling with a teenager, come tonight, 6 o'clock. There's a life group for parents with teenagers, and it's a good therapy session. Just kidding. And growth session, okay? But today I want to talk and continue talking about how do we prepare for eternity? How are we driven by eternity? And how do we begin to look at life differently, knowing about there's a coming age, and we're driven? The Bible is real clear. The Bible uses... There's a difference between manipulation and motivation. How many of you guys know that? Manipulation is when I get you to do something that benefits me. And how many of you guys have ever been manipulated by people before? Made to feel guilty. I start water. I had to tell my 8-year-old the other day, honey, when I discipline you and you start pouting for a really stupid reason, like, no, you can't use my iPhone right now, and you start to cry, I started using the word manipulation. All of a sudden, she looks at me, I said, are you manipulating me? She goes, uh-uh. Because I told her, you don't want to be a manipulator, honey. Manipulation is when I get you to do something that benefits moi, me. Motivation is when I prod and encourage someone to do something that benefits them. So today, in the Bible, God used heaven as a powerful tool, not to manipulate people to live right, but to motivate people to make decisions and recalibrate their life and some of their decisions so they could begin to be on track to make a huge difference in the world. He used heaven to motivate people to think about radical generosity. He used heaven to motivate people to serve, to build churches, schools, dig wells, motivation to make a difference, motivation to get involved, helping. Why? With compassion. Why? Because heaven's coming. In fact, there's an interesting verse. If you look at the New Testament, second half of the Bible, and you begin to look at the New Testament, you begin to see a theme of God leveraging heaven on behalf of our lives to motivate us to think differently. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It's in your worship guide, or it's also on the screen there, or you can follow along also on YouVersion Bible app. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in what? God. Command them. He says command. It doesn't say command the poor. Why? Because some... I think it's typical, percentage even in the church, is poor. The poorer you are, sometimes the more you give per capita, per person, because it's just like, hey, easy come, easy go. I don't have a whole lot. I might as well be obedient with what I got. There comes a time when commandos are rich in this present world, not to become arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Here's what I love. God loves for us to enjoy life. God's not the killjoy in heaven going, oh, I don't want people to be successful or effective or have finances, because if they do, I'm going to take their joy away. That's not God. God wants you to enjoy what you have. Because he provided. And it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. How many of you guys know you can be wealthy and doing good deeds? You might not be wealthy in financial, you might not have a lot of Benjamins or $100 bills in the pocket or a lot of cash or whatever, but you can be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Friends, I want to pause here and stop. So they can take hold of what? Life that's truly life. I want you to think about something for a second. Do you realize that life is not just about making a living? There's something beyond living. There's a life that money can't buy. There comes a point. Command those who are rich not to put their hope in worldly wealth, but to put their hope in what? God. Command them what? To do good, to be rich in good. In other words, how they live their life and how they give. They lay their treasures up for themselves as a firm foundation in what? The age to come, heaven. In other words, are we living life in such a way that we're laying up treasures not on earth, but in heaven? Let's talk today about how to lay up treasures in heaven. I'm going to talk about why we should lay up treasures in heaven, and then I'm going to talk about how we lay up treasures in heaven. How do we live in such a way where we can leave a legacy through our living, through our giving, and through our serving? Why do we lay up treasures in heaven? Number one, because heaven, not earth, is my home. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm just passing through. And no, it's not the military that made you just pass through, okay? I prayed over PJ and Melissa Gonzalez, which some of you might know. They've been life group leaders here for a long time. And today's their last Sunday, and they're retiring, and the government's shipping them out. But you know something? They just passed through. But the reality is all of us are just passing through right now. Yeah. Heaven is our home. I love what in Philippians it says this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. In other words, the indulgences, the desires, the hungers, they just kind of make decisions based upon what they desire. It says, their destiny is destruction, their God's their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind, say mind. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. I want to pause here for a second. How many of you know? And last week we prayed through because someone was applying for membership or citizenship here, and all, they're from another country, and they were scared with some of the immigration laws changing that they might have to go home before everything came through. And she put a praise request. My citizenship came through. Praise the Lord. But that person's now a citizen in two places. The old movie, Here Comes the Boom. I citizen two times, okay? If you ever watched that movie. But here's the deal. We are citizens in two places. We're citizens here. But our true citizenship is where? In heaven. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I'll look upon his face. I don't know about you. I can't wait for that day. Okay, we're citizens, and so we need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. So when we're down here working with all the stuff we do, when our mind's only on earthly things, we forget that we're not created just to live on earth. We're created to make eternity happen as we're here, because someday we're up there. The second reason we lay up treasures in heaven is number two, because the line is longer than the dot. Now, I'm going to explain this. The line is longer than the dot. We are living, in fact, let's put the picture up here. That dot is your life right now. We might think, oh, my life is really important. But you're not. Your life is a dot compared to eternity. In fact, someone said if you described eternity, it would be having a seagull take sand from one shore of the world and fly across the world and drop that sand and then fly back and move all the sand from one side of the world to the other, and that just begins eternity. We're dots, but eternity is a long line. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith, and these men and women of God who are people of faith. And I love how chapter 11 in the message, verse 14, describes the people who are thinking about the lines, not the dots. It says, these people who live this way, like there's a line, make it plain that they're looking for their true home. They were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. In other words, they're not living their life only for today and the dot. They are living their life because they know there's a heaven country somewhere beyond where they're at. And they're not going to give up until they get there, because there's a dot, but there's a line. Some of us live only thinking about the dot. Oh, I just got to take care of all that's going on. And do we have to take care of what's going on right now? Yeah, there's a lot of going on. But I want you to think about something. What's going on right now is not the only thing going on in your world. There's a line and there's a dot and there's something bigger going on. It says this. They're looking for this heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them. He has a city waiting for them. Notice city's capitalized right there. There's a capital city for them. If you're waiting for heaven, I'm telling you right now, if you're living for heaven, there's a city with a capital C waiting for you. There's a capital city. And in this city, the line of the Lamb will lie together. The hot light will always be on at Krispy Kreme with no calories. Bill Belichick will finally retire as a Patriots coach. The Vikings will make the Super Bowl. Heaven's going to be a great place. They pave the streets with gold. You should be praying, Lord, I pray they... angels have to do some road construction, just kick a gold nugget out over the atmosphere and let it land in my backyard. Praise like that. Okay. Are you living for the line or the dot? Is your mind on earthly things? Or are you driven by eternity? Why do we focus on heaven more than earth? Number three, because there's limited time and incredible opportunity. There's limited time. An incredible opportunity. See, I'm 46, and I don't know how close I am to the finish line. I don't know, but I do know I'm growing old too fast and smart too slow, like most of us in here. Okay, and I know I'm getting closer to eternity than I was before. But and time is limited, and the older I get, the smarter I try to become, so I can the second half I hope I work smarter and leave a legacy than the first half when I'm just like, oh, let's just get as much stuff. But when it comes to this, we have to pause and go. There's limited time on my earthly dot, but there's incredible opportunity. Incredible opportunity. In Ephesians, it says this. Paul said, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every what? Opportunity, because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. I believe that God has blessed us in America. God has blessed us at True North. That we're not special, but God has some special things for us to do. We're not more special than other churches, but let's pause for it. What are some opportunities? I want to ask you to think about something for a second. It's a couple things this year we're dreaming about. In a week and a half, two contractors are going to fly up to New Ixit. We have a gentleman that owns a plane and going to fly up and take a look at the church. There's still some projects they have to finish in New Ixit. Good news, I talked about that last week, and we had to find some airline tickets for someone, and someone bought airline tickets. Another couple says, hey, we'll be the kids' pastors. One lady grew up in Barrow, says, I love my people. Can I go up for Easter? And she's a kids worker here. Every single Saturday and Sunday night, she comes to help with kids. And so she says, I know what happens here, and it's high quality. Can I take the same quality to New Ixit on Easter? We thought, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. We're flying up to take a look at the parsonage, because the parsonage isn't livable right now, And the day after Easter, a group of men will drive up the ice road. Some will fly. Looks like we're going to be able to drive up with some nice tired, big tired vehicles or whatever. It'll save the price of the cost of even going to New Ixit, it looks like. And finish the whole entire parsonage to get it ready for a pastor to move in there sometime. But here's what I know. In Alaska right now, there's 150 villages in Alaska under 1,000 in a population base. And they believe, when I say they, the Christian Pilots Association and other groups, say they believe right now, today, 100 of those villages, if not more, have no church or consistent gospel witness. And I think we have a great opportunity. If there's 100 plus or 100 or so villages that have no consistent gospel witness, we have a great opportunity to make it 99. Yeah, come on. That for such a time as this, could we change the statistics? Could we begin to dream a dream? Hey, time is limited, but there's opportunities. Pastor Bo, our associate, met this other day with Nancy James. And Nancy James worked for the Washington Cathedral in Washington, D.C. She retired recently. She's met with presidents for the last 30 years. She was at the inauguration for President Trump. She's met with every president for the last 30 years through ministry of the Washington Cathedral, and she was in their Oval Offices praying with them with a pastoral team, and she's been involved with that. And she was here. She's an Episcopal priest and is the interim pastor right now at the Episcopal Church here in town, and has spent time in and out of Fort Yukon. And this is what she said about Fort Yukon. I want to read it. I had to text Pastor Bo because I want to make sure I had it correct. And he says, she said, the Assemblies of God Church in Fort Yukon is keeping the village alive. In her estimation, going into Fort Yukon. So one of our missions projects this year is to raise $30,000 through people's sensitivity to what the Spirit of God is saying, so we can help build a new building because their building's falling apart. In fact, one of their kids' pastors sitting in their church right now. Wave at us, Miss Cheyenne. We're so glad to hear it. We're proud of you, okay? And we just picked her up as a new missionary this last week. We're going to support her on a monthly basis as a church. But why do I share that? Because we can look and go, hey, time is limited, but guys, there's opportunities. This month, we're talking about missions. Why? Because we believe there's opportunities to make a huge difference. Globally, here locally. In fact, we have a lady who came up to me between services today and thanked me. I shared her story. She grew up in Calcutta, India. She went to the Assemblies of God Christian School in Calcutta, India, that Mark and Huldah Buntain, who ran Calcutta Mission of Mercy, built the hospital Mother Teresa died in, Calcutta Mission of Mercy. She went to the school there because her parents invested in her to get a private education so she could get ahead in life or whatever. And so she went to school there. Well, she arrived in Fairbanks a few years ago. She's driving down Airport Way, and she says to the person in the car with her, that's my church. Why? Because it said Assembly of God on the outside of the building. And she came to church and she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. A Hindu woman who never made a commitment to Christ when she was a teenager going to a Christian school, that people in churches like this around the globe raised money to build a building, not knowing 20, 30 years later. In fact, I was at Tacoma, Washington where the office for Calcutta Mission of Mercy was at the church I was on staff at. Millions of dollars was raised over years. And my wife and I started a faith promise of $50 a month back then, not knowing that we'd be supporting, knowing that later on someone from Calcutta would come to our church here in Fairbanks and make a commitment to Jesus. Why? Hey, time is limited, but the opportunities are limitless. You don't know the power of investing in missions, thinking divine eternity. The line is longer than the dot. Thirdly, why do we focus on heaven more than earth? Thirdly, because it's smart. You're wise when you focus more on heaven than earth. Jesus, when he tried to motivate people, he used heaven again. And I want to read a story here because he talks about someone being smart and being foolish. Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them, rust destroys them, Wall Street can crash them, where thieves can break in and steal. Store your treasures in where? Heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. He is trying to say, hey, allocate a portion of your investment portfolio in heaven where you never have to worry about it getting taken, destroyed, stock market crashing. There's return benefits beyond this planet. Notice it says wherever your treasure is, there will be what? Your heart. I had someone the other day say, Pastor Mark, you're passionate about missions, and every year you do like a missions month, you talk about missions, and, you know, I just don't have a heart for missions. And I said, you know why? He said, why? Looked at me, I said, because you've never given to missions. He said, well, I don't have a heart for it. I said, you don't get it. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You don't have a heart and then give. You give and then the heart comes. Motion brings emotion. Hey, where your treasure, your time, your energy, your talents, your money is invested, that's where your heart is. And I've seen people who have a passion for horses. I've seen people have a passion for hunting. I've seen people have a passion for boats. And they put a whole lot of money there. And so, of course, that's where their passion is, their energy, and their resources. But guess what? Boats can break down. Horses can die. Moths can destroy. All those things happen. But what? Lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Well, I don't know if I have a heart to serve, if I could ever do that. Well, start. Because when you start, it happens. I remember listening to an interview once with an Olympic coach. There's a couple of interviews that stand out. One was the downhill. It was the Winter Olympics, and they asked the downhill skier about a decade ago who won the Olympics made $150,000 that year as an instructor. The person that took second made $10,000 as an instructor. And it was just like inches that separated them. It wasn't much more than that. And someone asked, what was the difference between the winner and the second place person? And the person said, the size of their wanna. How bad do they want it? I watched another interview once where they were interviewing this gentleman who coached four people to gold medals in the high jump. And they asked him, what's the goal? How did you get four people to win the highest sports achievement in the high jump? And he says, is it strategy? Is it? He says, no, it's one thing. I teach them to throw their heart over the bar. Because if they get their heart over the bar, their body follows. You want to do great things for Jesus? Throw your heart over the bar and watch your body follow. Watch what God does when you say, God, I'll throw my heart over that. Because I'll tell you right now, desire follows the heart. Desire follows the investment. Desire follows the hard work. Desire follows what you give, how you serve, and all those things. Heart follows treasure. I don't have a heart to serve. I don't have a heart for me. I don't have a passion for those who are far from God. Well, then begin to interact with them or give and watch what God begins to do. Yep. Clarity, heart, motion always brings clarity. Motion always brings emotion. Jesus loved teaching through stories, and he goes on teaching this story about lay up treasures in earth and not on heaven, not on earth. And he says this, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest. He had good land, good crops, abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Whose crops? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of laid up for many years. This person has a major flaw in their thinking. Listen, here's the major flaw. They thought that if I had more stuff, I have more time. I've got all this stuff, and I've prepared for many years. But let me tell you something right now. God's economy is not our economy. God's strategy, if you focus only on the dot, there's a line. And you might have a lot for the dot and have a little for the line. Listen, Jesus goes on and says, but God said to him, you fool. Yeah, let me just pause here for a second. It's not good if God calls you a fool. He's not B.A. Baracus, Mr. T, with a mohawk going, I pity the fool. When God calls you a fool, that's not a good thing. And he says, you're a fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. You built bigger barns. You got bigger investment portfolios. You've done all these things. And God goes, you're a fool. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This idea of treasures in heaven deals with a biblical concept or idea called being rich toward God. See, friends, we live in a world where we can try to get as rich for ourselves as we can, but if we thought about God, let's step back for a second. And if we're wise, we go, is there a way to be smart and not just take care of what's on this earth? But is there a way I can be rich towards you, God? I don't know about you. I hope that someday I'm rich toward God. I remember one day a couple years ago, we were living in Anchorage. This would have been 5 years ago now. And we were, you know, single income in our home, and things were tight, and we're driving down the road, and we lived in a nice part of town because we wanted our kids to be in good schools, but we couldn't afford all the stuff that the other parents could afford to put their clothe their kids with, if that makes sense. And so we were Value Village. You know, we love fine places like Value Village and Salvation Army and stuff like that. So, so my kids one day says, Mom, are you and Daddy poor? And we go, no, we just choose to spend our money differently than some families. Good. Why? Because our goal in life wasn't to outlive the Joneses or have, you know, our goal wasn't to buy things to impress people we don't even know. And if we did know them, we might not even like them. Our goal was how do we become rich toward God? So let's shift now from why to how. How do we build a heavenly portfolio? How do we develop richness toward God? Number one, how to be rich toward God? Number one, give myself to God. Start out right there. It's not, God, I want to give a lot in an offering plate. God, I want to hop in the offering plate today. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be who you want me to be. Lord, send me. The whole God, I give myself. See, God's not asking. Some of us think God's asking for my stuff. No, he's asking for you. Asking for you. Because God's smart enough to know if he gets you all in, he gets all your stuff anyway. Because he realizes you're not an owner, you're a steward. It's not your stuff anyway. And if he owns all of you, then all of you is him. I remember one day when MySpace came out and Facebook came out, and youth pastors were like, oh, MySpace is going to ruin youth ministry. When I remember preaching a message like, MySpace is God's place because God's space is all space. God wants all of us. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Give him your life. You were bought and purchased at a high price. Hop in the offering plate. God, I give myself. The second way we become rich to God is to act like a steward, not an owner. I'm a steward. I'm a manager. Lord, what do you want me to do? Is the question we need to ask. Last week, we had a gal. She attends our first gathering. She looked at the offering and she says, God, what am I supposed to do? Pastor said to pray for my faith promise. And God, I don't think I can go on a missions trip, but God, what should I do? And God said, you've been saving your tip money. She's a hairdresser. She's been saving tip money in this crown, this purple crown. I thought it was brown or blue because I'm colorblind, but it's purple, someone told me. She's been saving her tip money since 2012. No, excuse me. Yeah, 2012. So she's been saving it for 6 months, or 6 years. She's been saving her tip money as a hairdresser, the cash that came in, not credit cards, in a Crown Royal bag, which she had around her house because there was a time before her brother accepted Christ, he was an alcoholic. And every time she got a tip, she'd put it in the Crown Royal bag and pray for her brother's salvation, who brother has made a commitment to Jesus and has set him free from alcohol. But here's what happened. She was sitting there, and God said, give the church, give the missions your tip jar, your tip bag. So she came in this last Thursday, and she called and says, can I meet with Pastor Bo or you? And I had an appointment, so Pastor Bo said, you can meet with me. And she came and talked to Pastor Bo and began to tell the story that she'd been praying for the salvation of her brother and for his life, and he accepted Christ. But she says, God told me to give my tip money to missions. Now, she already tithes. So she tithes and tips now. It's $5,000 in her tip bag when she showed up on Friday. And I'm in my office, and Pastor Bo says, and my appointment was done. He knocks on my door and says, I think you have to come here and hear the story. She begins to tell the story. And you think, like, if God says give $5,000, some of you are like, oh, twist my arm. And she's like, honey, sweetheart, thank you. And she goes, oh, don't thank me. I just feel so blessed that I can be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And the smile on her face. And then we gathered together and we prayed. And we prayed that this bag, which represents alcoholism, would be broken off of every missions dollar that goes off into villages around the world or here in Alaska. That God would set captives free, release the oppressed. Something would happen. Because somebody said, oh, I'll hop in the plate. She says, it wasn't mine. I just didn't know what to do with it yet. We're stewards, friends. We're not owners. A steward says, what do you want me to do, God? To leave a legacy. God, I'm all yours. And God, what do you want me to do? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord and every. See, some people say, Mark, no, it's my money. It's all mine. I earned it. God didn't show up and drive the truck. And God didn't show up and dig that ditch. No, but you borrowed his air to do it. Your fingerprints around that shovel, around that car wheel, those fingerprints were put on you by a divine designer named God. Strength you have. It is he, it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How can you be rich toward God? You can be rich toward God by giving yourself to God, by acting like a steward, not an owner. Thirdly, view everything through the lens of eternity. We're nomads. We're passing through. If you don't like the house you're living in right now, good news. That's not your eternal home. If you like your house you're in right now, take advantage of it. Take it, but understand it is only temporary because there's this dot and there's a line that's going to be a lot longer. In the heavenly home you have, they pave the streets in gold. And they don't even need power up there because the light that comes from the throne emanates and lights and illuminates the entire city. Moses says, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. He was not looking at all he had as the prince of Egypt. He wasn't looking at all of the valuable treasures that were there. He rather looked and said, there's a reward in heaven which is far greater than my enjoyment on earth. And I choose to forsake that because there's something greater I'm living for. What are you living for that's greater than you? Hey, if you can do what you do without God, that's exactly what you have, a man-made dream. If you want to dream big dreams, if you make God your business partner, you better think bigger than you think right now. And lastly, be intentional. Be intentional. I'm going to ask you to do something this month. The next 2 weeks. And next week we have a missionary speaking. I'm excited to hear him. He's going to be good. Good friend of mine. He's the Chi Alpha pastor at UAF. And you're going to love his passion. He's going to tell the story how he was in Laos on a business trip. And God spoke to him about moving to Alaska. And he thought, my wife hates cold places. She'll never move to Alaska. He shows up late one night. She's usually asleep. He walks up behind her. Her computer's open. She's looking for houses in Alaska. Because God spoke to her too. And now they're impacting the campus at UAF. He's going to be here next week. But I'm going to ask you right now, would you pray about your faith missions promise? And would you pray about if you're called to go on a trip? Here's what I know. God can speak to you. For that woman, it was the purple tip bag that represented freedom and deliverance from alcohol in her family. Represented God doing miracles only God can do. God spoke to her. God spoke to me first service, and I had to talk to my wife because she's been in church the whole time I have, And God spoke to me about what we're supposed to do. And I'm going to ask, we're going to pray and believe, is this what we're supposed to be? But it's a challenge. But if God's my business partner, you make big plans. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to pre-decide. How will you give? How will you serve? Why? I want to read this verse. I love how the Message breaks it down. I've never seen it like this before. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in his giving. We don't want to twist your arm to give. We want you to pray and have the Holy Spirit give you, because the Holy Spirit can speak to you something that settles in your spirit and you know it's God. That's what it's about. We want to leave a legacy, though. We believe that there's more to this earth and more to this life than life right now. We believe there's driven by eternity. And there are other folks out there who time will tell what the good news of Jesus will do for them through our missions impact. If you take the worship guide that you received when you walked in today, and if you prayed the prayer today before communion, in fact, I met someone today who came to church because they're waving a sign at the corner of the road, and a gal from our church stopped by, bought this homeless person some meal, and then invited them to church after talking to them for a half hour on the street corner at 30 below. This person came to church today and God impacted their life. If you prayed the prayer before communion today to say, yes, I want to serve Jesus, would you just check that box? I prayed with Pastor to begin my journey with Jesus. Or if you're here, you want to be water baptized or child dedication, you want to serve a joint team. We're going to wait on you for Lord's tithes and offerings, and this is the time we give. Ushers, if you come at this point, I want to thank you for your generosity. If you're a first-time guest, drop that card or prayer need in the box as well. We want to connect with you. We promise not to bombard you, but we do want to make sure that we can facilitate the needs you have. At the end of the offering, as the buckets are passed in a moment, I'm going to have you stand in a moment and sing this song together. But the song is, My Heart is Yours. God, I give you my heart. It's the first step to be enriched toward God. God, I hop in the offering basket today myself. God, here I am. There's three ways to give. You can give cash or check with the offering envelope in front of you. You can text your giving in. You can go online. All that information's in the offering envelope in front of you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to give. The opportunity we have to partner with you. And Lord, I believe this. I believe we can predetermine our giving. I believe you can speak to us, and we don't have to be manipulated. We don't have to be arm twisted. But God, you can speak to us so we can give with a cheerful heart, knowing this is what God spoke to me about. Just like that woman who brought her tip bag in. I thank you for that. Bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing this song and we receive the offering? Let's sing this song.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.